Hey friends, welcome to episode 573 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. If you're keeping score at home, this is a non-wrestling episode of the pod. October, we ended up not doing any non-wrestling once we got into a groove of the Halloween season and doing all that. So I have been, the last few months doing a series called The College Years, and this is part three of four. Which is going to be my junior year of college at Southeast Missouri State University. If you haven't checked out the two previous episodes, go do that. I wasn't sure how this would be received, and actually, I'm happy with the results of people watching and or listening to those college-related episodes, the non-wrestling-related podcast. And that's really why I started throwing in a non-wrestling-related podcast once a month to maybe introduce to another crowd, another audience. And I'm sure there is some crossover of folks who listen or watch the wrestling shows too. So I'm appreciative to everyone that does that and very grateful and thankful for that. So in part one, I talked about freshman year, kind of learning and transitioning into college life. Part two was the developing of the relationship that I have with my now wife. We started dating at the very end of our freshman year. Now, by our junior year, it is year three at Southeast. We are living once again in the Towers, both in Tower South this time around, starting in Tower South. My wife was on the third floor. I returned to floor eight. I think it was floor eight that I lived on the previous year. And for this year, I'm rooming with Jason Lee, aka Elway. Everybody knew him as Elway, big time Denver Broncos fan, still is to this day. We're friends on social media. I haven't seen him in a long time, but he did actually make a trip over here to Southern Illinois. He lives over in Southeast Missouri. He came over, gosh, years ago when I was still working at WSIL, and we had lunch together. Great guy, and we had met, developed a friendship from our the previous year, our sophomore. We were both the same age, and he actually was my brother's roommate. My brother, as I mentioned last time, went for one semester to SEMO in that spring of '93, and they were roommates at that time. And so Elway and I became roommates. Elway was an interesting roommate though, because he didn't go to class, or he didn't go to class regularly. And he would have his alarm set, and I was on the top bunk, he was on the bottom bunk, and his alarm would go off. He would get up and turn it off, and his alarm would go off before mine. I guess I had later classes, I don't know. And he would hit snooze, and this went on, and he kept going back, and then he would finally just turn it off and not go to class. So that was always something that stood out to me with Elway as a roommate. But he's a great guy and doing good things. So if he happens to listen to this, that's my Elway story. But again, huge Broncos fan, and I'm not a football guy by any means, but I do kind of keep up and pay attention when the Broncos play, just because of that relationship and that friendship with him so many years ago. And I know that he watches very passionately still, and travels and goes to games and whatnot. So that year also, junior year, kind of figuring out the whole graduation thing, what's going to be happening coming down the road. We're hopefully about a year and a half. I ended up being 2 years away from graduating, and interesting, or maybe not interesting, but this series is actually going to culminate with the podcast number four, part four of this episode of this series, with graduation, which actually will fall the day before the 30-year anniversary of my graduation from Southeast. So that's my plan, at least, is to drop that on the week of December 8th. I graduated December 9th, 1995, from SEMO. We'll get to that story though in part three, in part four. Now it's part three, and you can see, if you're watching, I am wearing Greek letters on my chest, and that is because the big story, or one of the big stories from my junior year, was attending or becoming going Greek, I guess is the real way to say that. I say one of the big stories because I'm going to get to something in the spring that was obviously more significant to my life today, even 30 years later, but we'll get to that in a minute. So I had rushed. For those who aren't familiar with the college or the Greek system, university system, rush is a time when men and women look at visit different fraternities and sororities, some by invitation only, some they have open houses and you go and you meet, in my case, the men of the fraternity, hang out with them, kind of learn what they're about, see if you gel, vibe with them. And if you do, and they want you to be a part of their organization, you get invited, you get a bid for joining that particular group. The Greek system is obviously, I don't want to say controversial. I think it's polarizing, though. It has its pros and cons, I think, even in 2025. I think at Southeast specifically, it has changed a lot through the years in terms of enrollment and numbers and whatnot. Even though there are numbers on campus of students, I don't think the Greek system is what it was in the 80s and 90s and even before that. So I think maybe the cachet, maybe I don't know. I don't know nationwide if it's the same, but I know at Southeast, I have heard at least it's not what it once was. And I had looked at some fraternities prior to my junior year, because junior year is kind of like a lot of times it's freshmen or sophomores that go out and rush. And I want to say that in the spring, we'll take a quick step back. In the spring of '93, which would have been the spring of my sophomore year, my buddy Paul Klusmeyer and I rushed and visited a couple of houses. And, I'm even now, 30 years later, I'm not as introverted as I once was, but back in those days, I was extremely introverted. And it probably also comes off almost as being stuck up or snobbish, but that's not the case. I just take a while to warm up to be comfortable enough to talk to people. Not so much today. It still happens today, but in college, it was bad. And so I don't know that my true self shone through when I was going through the system of Rush, the spring rush, which is smaller and not as big as the fall rush typically is. So I did that and I didn't end up getting a bid. And I know I visited Lambda Chi and I want to say Sig Tau. And then Pi Kappa Alpha, the Pikes. And I don't remember if I did all of that in the spring. I think those were all in the spring. Then the fall rush came around. My wife was rushing and went through and got a bid as an Alpha Z Delta. And some of our other friends were, going Tri Delta. I had some friends that were looking at what was a new fraternity called Sigma Nu, new to our campus. The fraternity had been around since 1869, or has been around since 1869. So I remember some of the guys on my floor, some of the guys who had lived on my floor before, Paul being one of them, was rushing Sigma Nu. And they had a big event because they didn't have a house. It was a brand new, the process of becoming a God, and I'm blanking on the a colony. It wasn't a chapter. It was going to be called a colony, and because there was nothing on campus yet, they didn't have housing. All of the fraternities and sororities had housing or meeting places and places on campus. I think everybody was on campus back then. Delta Chi may have been off campus, and Pikes or Sig Tau's had a place off campus. Because I remember drinking a lot of beer with those guys, and I wasn't a huge, I casual drinker, and I think that was part of the vibe for me was not fitting in with that group. They were part, nothing wrong with that, but that just wasn't me at that time. And so anyway, Sigma Nu's were meeting in the University Center, and I went to the initial meeting, and there were a lot of guys there, some that I knew, again, like I mentioned from the floor and whatnot, but just also from being a junior, third year returning, and To me, at the time, the pitch and listening, and Mike McKenzie was the representative from the national chapter that came and spoke and was trying to recruit and get a group of young men together to make a difference on campus. Sigma Nu was different from other fraternities, other Greek systems, not just at the SEMO campus, but all across the board. And this was in an era when hazing was still pretty prevalent. I don't know what it's like, 30 years later, but even at Southeast, and I got a story coming up on that in a few minutes as well. But I can remember just the effort, and it was going to be a lot of work. And, honestly, I was kind of a slacker, fly under the radar college kid at the time. And I didn't, in that moment of hearing what it was going to take to reach that chapter status and to become a part of this Sigma Nu experience, because, fraternities and sororities have a national chapter or a national organization, and then colleges around and universities around the country have different chapters, and they're assigned Greek letters, just like Sigma Nu. For example, we are Sigma Nu Mu Kappa chapter, and they go alphabetically in the Greek alphabet. So Alpha is the very first chapter, and then you go through the Greek alphabet, and then you go Alpha, Beta, Alpha, and I don't remember all my Greek letters, but that's kind of the process. So there are a lot of Sigma Nu chapters by this point. And being a junior, and I didn't know, I wanted to have the benefits of being in a fraternity, which in my eyes back then was going to parties and, having fun and doing this, that, and the other. My wife was, or my girlfriend at the time, was going Greek. And so we would go to her formals, and we would go to her parties, and we'd go to my parties, and it would be a whole college experience, So that's, again, 20 years old. That's the mindset that I'm experiencing and living in that moment. So fast forward, I come back from that, and I'm like, I don't think this is for me. I'm going to kind of sit out and not do this. Well, this is early fall of 1993. Well, a couple weeks go by, and I'm seeing some of my friends that are doing it and getting into it. Homecoming's rolling up, and I'm starting to get FOMO, fear of missing out. And I'm regretting my decision to, and I was never extended a bid or anything like that. I just kind of quietly withdrew myself from contention or consideration. And then Paul stands out to me most through all of this process. He talked me into going back and doing, so I went to some of the things that, they were doing. They were still actively recruiting because none of them were official. They had to travel to another campus, or the members of another chapter had to come to Southeast to swear these guys in and educate them and let them know the process, because it is a big process of becoming a fraternity or a sorority, established one on a university campus, but then also becoming members of said group. And there are benchmarks and guidelines and things that you have to do and do them well to get that recognition. And so I can remember it was probably early November of 93, and they had another event, and I went to it, and I can remember I was getting ready to leave. I had gone to the event and everything, and then I was getting ready to leave to go to Lisa's, which was down on floor 3, and a group of Sigma Nu's, they weren't actives, obviously, but they were the guys that were representing the fraternity, Paul being one of them, stopped me in the hall. They had come up through the stairwell, and they'd stopped me in the hall, and they handed me a card or an envelope, and I opened it up, and then it was a card with extending a bid to join Sigma Nu. And I was flattered and honored and excited and glad that they were still looking and wanting to accept. And really, I think it was in that time frame that this is all happening that I'm realizing that this is not just about being Greek. This is not about going to parties and having fun, but it's also a part of building a legacy and becoming a part of something even bigger than the whole Greek experience itself. And I know that probably sounds cheesy, or, you know, what kind of 20-year-old has that clarity? But I really think being surrounded with this group of men, it was the mindset of everyone there. We had a common goal. We had a focus. We wanted to bring something new and different from the other fraternities and sororities that were on the Southeast campus. And we really did that. We accomplished that. And it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of late nights and hours of putting together. And there were people that were more involved and had a bigger hand in that, in the meticulous work that went into that. Our Sigma Nu sweetheart, Stacy Klusmeyer, now, who ended up marrying Paul, my buddy that I was talking about a few minutes ago, did a lot of work on that. And we, you know, friends came along the way. One of my oldest and dearest and best friends in the world, Kevin Gillespie, who I have known since before kindergarten, had transferred to SEMO, and he joined Sigma Nu. And he was not we were not typical Greek guys. But we had some typical Greek guys in the group as well. That's what I loved about this, was the balance of people and personalities and friendships that have grown and developed and have maintained for 30 plus years later. I'm still in a text group with these guys. Sometimes we cross paths in town if I'm in St. Louis, or if my buddy Dan comes down every once in a while for business, and we'll go and have a beer. Or, unfortunately, we've reached the age where we're coming together and seeing each other for funerals. And we've had two or three times now where we've come together because a brother has passed away. And so, that's the sad side of things. But it makes me so happy to know that I created these bonds, or these bonds were created and developed. And I'll talk more about it in part four, because the whole system, the whole process, took us on an incredible journey and made the last 2 years of my college experience memorable and more fun. And I do feel like that was kind of that transition of, even though you're in a fraternity, that was the growing up phase. You know, it was time to get to work and focus and be more attentive to grades, because they did matter. Because in the Greek system, you have to maintain certain grades, and in Sigma Nu even, you know, the bylaws and creating and doing that process and building leadership and getting those skills and learning all of those things, to me, were game changers and helped, I think, mold me into the professional that I am today, the adult that I am, the father that I am, the husband that I am. Those experiences, I know, again, Greek system polarizing to some. People say that you're paying for your friends, and there's, I guess, some validity to that in the terms of, yeah, you're paying, membership fees or membership dues or whatever the case may be. But, you know, if I were to join an athletic sport or a team sport, or, you know, play softball or a pool league, those guys all pay to be in that as well. So I view it no differently than that. I was not buying friends. But being a part of a bigger cause, a bigger thing, was memorable to me. And so we worked very hard for over a year, or right around a year, when things culminated finally in the fall of 2020, fall of 1994. And that will be part of part four. I did go three semesters my senior year, but I'll wrap them all up into one big podcast episode for that, and explain why things ended the way that they did, or went the way that they did for me in that time frame. But again, I just appreciate the opportunity, the experience. I met, again, great dear friends, Tim Arbeiter, Brian Hampton, Pete Bush were all in my wedding, Mark Swan. And I don't want to name names, because I'm going to inevitably forget people. But we lost Jason Reyes back in 2021, passed away before he even turned 50. Tom Knopp, another great Sigma Nu brother. And that was 2 years ago, and we went back to Cape. And that's the thing, too, about this friendship, this brotherhood, this bond, if you will, Jonathan Reeser was our commander. He was older than all of us. He was, I don't think he was right around 30 probably. And we're all in our late teens, early 20s at this time. And you know, people called him dad, and 30 seemed so old back then. And obviously now I would love to be, I don't know if I'd love to be 30 again, but you know, back having that time back to get to where I am today. But anyway, he passed away, gosh, many years ago, actually. And so when I get to see my fraternity brothers, it's like we never missed a beat. And I think part of that is the social media component of it. But you know, we went through something together where we created a lasting legacy. 32 years later, from when we started this, you know, there's still an active chapter. There are still young men. And it's funny now because our kids, not my specific, my personal kids, but kids of my Sigma Nu brothers who went through and were the founding fathers, you know, they have kids who are in the fraternity. And so that's kind of mind blowing. And I have friends from our college years who had kids that are in the Sigma Nu chapter, and so Mu Kappa. And that's wild to me. It's crazy to think about it, but it's looking back on it, and it may sound cliche or cheesy or campy or whatever, but I mean, I sincerely mean when I say it's so cool to me to think that we were all a part of, you know, this group, this core group of 32. That's the original founding fathers list. And we, you know, we've lost some. Some had been suspended or kicked out, but and some, you know, we've lost, unfortunately, through death. But I love seeing those guys, and I love when the group text dings and it's someone from that updating us on life, a promotion at work, a retirement. You know, like I said, we're reaching that age. Kids off to college, kids getting married, having grandkids, whatever the case is. I love that. And I know some of them will probably listen or hear this or watch it. And I hope that we can touch base, and I want to get back to Cape. Yeah, I missed last year. Last year was in 2024 was the 30-year reunion of our founding and getting the chapter, the charter, and all of that. And I had a work conference in Las Vegas, which was happening at the same time, so I could not attend. And I do, I again, it's the FOMO, it kicks in, and I miss that. So it's been 2 years since I've seen most. Brian Hampton, who was my best man at the wedding, lives in Cape still, and Lisa and I went over there, oh, a couple months ago, and visited with him. And I've been over a few times to see the campus, and things grow and change, and it's, I just love going back and being a part of that, and seeing what that legacy that we started has grown in, excuse me, has grown into. And that's been the fun part. And that's really the culmination of that fall semester of my junior year, going into the spring, working hard throughout that. But along the way, you know, we in the spring of 94, we got official housing on campus. We were in the J building. If you're familiar with SEMO at all, it was right there, not far from the towers. I didn't live in the J building at the time, but that's where we had our chapter meetings. And that's where, you know, we did Greek week activities, Greek sing, getting prepared for all of that, and doing all of that kind of fun stuff. This sweatshirt that I'm wearing, it looks like Superman. This was our homecoming sweatshirt, by the way. But it was also that group of guys that, you know, I had as a part of my life, and wanted to be there when I proposed to Lisa. And yeah, we got engaged our junior year, and it was in March 15th to be exact, outside Towers. She was in her room, and we had our chapter meeting. It was a Tuesday night. We all got together, and they were going to sing a couple of Sigma Nu songs, Sigma Nu Girl being one of them. And then I got down on one knee and proposed. And someone, and this is in the era, obviously, way before smartphones or anything like that, but somebody did take a picture And so I do have that picture, and I'll maybe include it if you're watching, probably seeing it right now. But it was just having those guys there and present meant a lot to me. And because there were a lot of guys who were getting engaged or finding their future wives during their time at Sigma Nu, and then when the weddings all started and stuff. So it was a fun time, to say the very least. And being in those experiences, as we reached our time in the J building, and I believe, if I remember correctly, SEMO was also bringing in a couple of new sororities. And at that time, I don't think they allowed sororities to have off-campus housing, and so they were looking to put them in the J building where we were living at that time. And so we spent that summer looking for a place to live off campus, and we looked at a lot of properties, a lot of houses and whatnot, but we settled on a little house on Themis, 433 Themis, and that became our first house. There was a, and I don't remember all the legalities and all the things that went into it, but we ended up purchasing that property, or our board, somebody bought it. I don't know, but the summer of 94, and there was a lot of work that went into renovating and cleaning that up. And my buddy Pete and Paul, who I talked about before, ended up being my roommates, and they were the two handymen of the group. And so they did a lot of work, and a lot of renovations went into that, and sweat equity. And then a lot of, the legalese and all that kind of thing went into it as well. And we'll get into that story of moving into the house, but I'm counting this as still part of year three, as we're gearing up and getting ready for that. And that was also an interesting time for me, as the spring semester was winding down. I was taking my first summer class in college, and so I was staying in Cape. I wasn't going back. My wife and I typically went back to St. Louis, back to our respective parents' homes, for the summer, and this was going to be the first year that I wasn't doing that. And my wife, or my girlfriend, my now I guess fiance, Lisa, at the time was not, she, semester ended, and then it was like days later, she got on a plane for a trip to Europe for her international marketing class or international business class, and she was gone for like weeks. And we were trying to figure out, what we were going to do for the summers in terms of housing and living and stuff. And so she ended up getting an apartment, a one bedroom apartment. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Her parents weren't too keen on us living together. And so I worked, or we both worked at Chuck E. Cheese, as I mentioned in the last episode. And there is someone that keeps asking for a Chuck E. Cheese episode. I will do a Chuck E. Cheese episode soon. Maybe after the first of the year. But anyway, we ended up, or I ended up, there were some girls I worked with that were looking for a roommate because their roommate was moving out for the summer. They lived in a house. This girl's parents, Tona was her name. Her parents rented, or I don't know if they bought the house and then rented it out to people. I guess that's what it was. So they needed a summer roommate, and I was going to move into the fraternity house. It wasn't going to be ready until fall. And so I ended up moving in there with them and living there throughout the summer. And that was an interesting experience. Although I spent, mo because it wasn't, there was no AC in the bedroom that I was in. And it was summer, of course. And so once Lisa got back from Europe, I ended up spending pretty much most nights. Sorry, my in-laws hear this, they won't, but in her AC apartment. So anyway, that was also the summer of the O.J. Simpson chase and all that. So a lot of memories come back when of thinking of sitting in that apartment and watching. That was also the first year that, or one of the first times that my wife cooked for me, because we were, of course, in her apartment, and she made She grilled hamburgers and she made baked beans. And back then, Bush's, I don't know why, but she put back then we would put a scoop of brown sugar in and some ketchup in the baked beans. She got confused and put a scoop of cinnamon in instead of brown sugar. So the baked beans made for an interesting meal, but I digress. Man, this is fun reliving some of these memories and moments. Some of it's coming back to me as I'm sitting here talking, but I'm not going to continue to bore you with all those details. But part four will come next month in December. We'll wrap things up with getting the charter, going through the whole motions of that, and then, of course, graduation and a fun nostalgic time again, that is as well. So thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. If you have questions, comments, let me know. If you're a SEMO alum, give me a shout out. This is before we were Red Hawks, but go Red Hawks, and we will see you next time.